wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Now, I'm sure this is a very familiar passage to you. You know, you have looked at that, probably pondered on it. I would suggest this morning we just do a Bible study. We'll go and take it verse by verse and break it down and see what the Spirit of the Lord would begin to reveal. There are a few key components in this text that I really like for us to deal with. And some of those might be challenging because it might really touch areas that you're very settled on what that means. For example, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And we look at that scripture, and we take it, and actually one particular denomination, a whole branch of Christianity, has taken that to mean Peter, the father of the church. Now, I'm going to touch certain areas that might be very established in your understandings. So bear with me and walk with me, so we may see what the Lord would like for us to discuss this morning. Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I guess I have a slight advantage of knowing Greek, so I go to the Greek New Testament and I open it, and it says, you, Simon, the son of Jonah, you are Petros, which means stone. And on this Petra, which means a huge big boulder, kind of like a mountain, I will build my church. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I thought that Peter is equated with the big boulder, and this is it. He's the only one that you could call Peter. Now, what Jesus, just in a couple of verses down, turns around and calls him Satan, get from behind me because you are a hindrance for what the Lord has called me to accomplish, really takes our theology, you know, just in waves, shakes us in no way, and we cannot reconcile those two things. Jesus just told him that he's Petros, and he's gonna build his church on that Petra. At the same time, he also told him that he will give him the keys of the kingdom. And whatever Peter binds on earth would be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth would be loosed in heaven. And just like that, in a breath, Peter turns into thoughts brought by Satan. Now that would shake anybody. I'm sure Peter was quite shaken. He was just renamed, by the way, from Simeon, from Simon, into Petros, Peter. NIV translation has no right to do Simon Peter answered, because Simon wasn't Peter until Jesus spoke that he's Peter. So Simon, that just got a new identity in Christ, whoo, crashed down and lost it within a couple, three verses. Just want to ask you, does that kind of happen to us? I believe that's almost our daily existence. We'll get, I'm telling you, just relax, because we will do a Bible study. We will do one of those exegetical things. You know, we're going to go verse by verse. And we'll talk, we'll discuss. What is the Lord truly pointing in this scripture? And more importantly, what is he pointing in here? What scripture is he speaking in our hearts this morning? And I will challenge all of us that we would allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our spirit this morning. Because it is the Lord, in Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says that it is the Spirit of God that searches our spirit, and he knows our spirit and informs our spirit, and accordingly he prays according to the will of the Father. So relax, because our spirit is in a good place. It is being informed this morning with the Spirit of the Lord, and we will walk this journey together. So my question to all of us this morning is, what was Jesus talking to Peter when he called him, "Now you are Petros, and on that Petra, I will build my kingdom, and I will give you the keys of my kingdom. And with those keys, you would do some amazing things. You would put your heart to it, and you will see things getting loosed and set free. And you would say, you be bound, the spirit of iniquity. You be bound, the spirit of fornication. You be bound, the spirit of illness. And you bind that on earth, and I will bind it in heaven. And you will say, you'll be loose to go and be a kingdom warrior for Christ. And you'll be loose and be victorious as you walk at work. And you're persecuted, and you'll be loose, and you have the mighty power of God to accomplish the high purposes for which you're called. And that happens. And just like that, within less than half a day, Peter loses this, whatever that this is, and we're going to talk about that. And Jesus looks at him and says, you're a hindrance to me. Get behind me. I don't want to listen to your counsel, because right now, whatever counsel you're giving me is actually of Satan. Because look at the text. It says, you are thinking on things that man has on their mind. You're not concerned with what my Father has. Can I have my water, please? So, what made Simon, the son of Jonah, Petros, a stone that could have been part of that big Petra, the mountain of God, the boulder that's the foundation, is that he stepped on a revelation, a rhema revelation, the truth of God, the word of God that was spoken into his heart. And he got a hold of that truth, and he spoke the revealed truth of God, the revealed truth from the Father into his heart. The Spirit of the Father revealed it into the spirit of Peter, into his heart. He didn't reveal it to his mind, by the way. The revelation, we can never think the will of God. We perceive, we discern the will of God with our hearts. We don't go first with our minds. We go with the heart. Because we are spiritual beings, and the spirit connects to spirit. So the Spirit of God speaks his word into our spirit, and Peter was bold enough. Look at all of the disciples begin to enumerate who the people that lived around Jesus, first century Christianity, okay, first century. Everybody claimed that Jesus is whoever they thought he is, all kinds of prophets or big important people from the past that they hoped would come and actually would hasten the coming of the Messiah, okay? So they hoped that Jesus is maybe one of those that comes right before Messiah, but they never saw. By the way, Christ means Messiah. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. That is the Hebrew word, meaning the anointed one, coming and bringing the grace of God, the salvation of God to this earth. So people around Jesus didn't have their eyes, their spiritual eyes open. But as Jesus said to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" He truly was asking them the question, "Who do you perceive with your spirit that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the anointed one that is to come and now is right here. You are the Messiah." And Jesus looked at him and said, "This is a revelation. This is the living truth of my Father that comes from heaven to earth. And on that revelation, I will build my church." And Peter, when he walked in the revelation that had come from heaven, sensed through his spirit. By the way, the revelation of God has to be invested in a spirit, in a humanly bodied, contained spiritual being. How else is his revelation going to be spoken on the earth? So as the revelation of God from heaven came into a human spirit, and that human spirit accepted that revelation, Jesus looked at Simon, son of Jonah, and said, "You're not Simon, son of Jonah anymore. Let me tell you who you are. You are a stone that had come from the foundational boulder rock that on which, on that revelation, on that truth that is spoken from heaven into earth, I will build my church." And as you get this revelation in your spirit, then you are so mighty that nothing can come against you, because you possess the keys now. The kingdom keys. But the kingdom keys, by the way, work only if they follow a revelational word. So you don't know which door you're going to go, which keyhole that key belongs to, unless God speaks it to you. How else are you going to know what the Father has told you to do? How else are you going to step in victory and know what your purpose in life is unless he had spoken it to you? So what Petros did, he spoke the revealed word that came from heaven to earth, was spoken through his mouth, for he bore witness that Jesus Christ, that Jesus from Nazareth, that everybody perceived that is the carpenter's son, the one that they actually hired to do many wood building contractor, things, like a building contractor. A lot of them looked at him and said, "Now, come on. You want to convince me that you, the contractor, the woodworker, you are something more than the son of Joseph?" We're talking about that Jesus, from Nazareth. That now Peter sees in a totally different revelation, because the Father revealed the truth to him, that this carpenter, this Jesus that comes from Nazareth, the Nathaniel said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That small city that's of nobodies, a handful of 150 people, and they're totally nobodies. Nobody even wants to climb up there in the mountains to know who lives there. And you're telling me that somebody that came from nowhere, and he's a nobody, just a plain carpenter, now he gets the image of the Messiah? I'm telling you, this is a hard pill to swallow. Many had a hard time understanding that Jesus, by the way, that's a very common name, Jesus, very common name, first century Christianity, is actually the Messiah, somebody that they have waited for centuries to come. But the Father spoke a revelation that landed in Peter's heart. I don't know about the other 12 disciples. I really don't know about them. Why they didn't speak? Did they have that revelation? Were they hearing the Father speaking into their hearts? I don't know. But I know that Simon, son of Jonah, heard that revelation. He spoke it. And that revelation now became a reality. And Jesus Christ affirmed that reality. And he said, on that revelation, I can build things. I will build actually my whole body. My body, the bride that we call, the church, I will build on real, active rhema revelation. I will build it on a word that is spoken dynamically from me, from heaven to earth. And it's going to land from my will in heaven. It's going to land right here within your bodies. Because we are spiritual beings, but we are being expressed through the bodies we wear. Remember that God shaped humankind out of dust and gave us the tents we wear right now? One day we will transcend those fleshly tents. But at this point, our spirit being is being expressed through our bodies. So Peter speaks a revelation. And I want to tell you this morning, as far as you're going to listen to the revelation of the Father from heaven, you're all Peters. You're all Petros. You're all a stone that has been taken from the big boulder foundation on which Jesus Christ is building his church. And as long as we hear this spoken word, this destiny that the Father from heaven speaks into earth, we all Petroses. We all Petros. We all Petros. We all Petros. Peter understood that, and that's why he said that we all living stones, you know, being built together, you know, into the building, into the temple. We're actually doing that temple thing, you know, the church. He understood that revelation. I'm taking you somewhere this morning. And without this foundational thought that I'm bringing to us this morning, we cannot go where the Lord really has taken me, and I want to take you with that. Unfortunately, within about three short verses here, Simon, the son of Jonah, goes from being the Petros, that important revelator that now knows what the Father wants, switches just like that, in a flash, into Satan. I mean, look at that. This is a very strong language. Satan, get away from me. Get behind me. You are a hindrance to me. Now, wait a minute, Jesus Christ. I thought just about three verses prior, Petros actually was a blessing to you because he spoke a revelation on the Father's behalf to you. And you were so happy to hear that. And you said, yes, I actually would rename you and I will give you a new destiny, a new name. I'm putting a new name in your hand. And about three, four verses down there, you know, you take it all away. I want us to look into what happened in those short three, four verses that Simon, son of Jonah, went from Petros, the revelator, on whom the Lord can build his church, into Satan, get behind me, and you are a hindrance to what I need to accomplish. Let's look at that. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. This is, by the way, 21st verse. And suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Okay, this is actually one verse, okay? What Peter understood now is that Jesus had a plan different than the plan of Petros. Peter understood that the Messiah, he just pinpointed who the Messiah was. That Messiah was planning to go to Jerusalem. And that Messiah knew that somehow as he goes to Jerusalem, many bad things were going to happen to him. He was going to suffer at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Not only suffer, but also he will be killed. I mean, never mind about raising on the third day, because who has seen anything like that? So Petros and the revelation he got didn't quite stretch where God the Father was stretching him to go. Now let me tell you what Simon, son of Jonah, knew about the Messiah. They all knew the Old Testament. They all prepared for a Messiah someday that's going to come back. Remember, the children of Israel and the children of Judah, because at that time the kingdom was separated, all went into exile because of sin, because of rebellion. They were under Babylonian exile. And as they began to come back into their own land now was occupied, okay? And so the Romans had the Kyrios. All of the Jews in first century Christianity during Jesus' time were officially slaves to the Romans. We talk about slavery, they were all slaves, okay? Their deepest desire was that someone will come and liberate them and set them free and get the kingdom of God reestablished back again in the seat of where the holy city is, and that's Jerusalem. And what they have seen and read the prophecies that a posterity from David's throne that will never end would come back, would rise again, would sit on the throne, and would reign as a Jewish ruler again. And they are not going to be Roman slaves anymore. That was the desire, and that was the understanding that those first century disciples carried in their hearts about the Messiah. So when Peter says to Jesus, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah," what he actually was saying is, "You're the one that's going to liberate us from all of that oppression that the Romans had put on us. You would be the freedom fighter for us. And we will all align with you." And by the way, Peter was right there. He was really a fighter. Peter couldn't wait until he jumps behind somebody to fight. He was a fighter. And he saw Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as that liberator. In his understanding, Messiah would return the human Jewish kingdom back on the throne. And the Romans were going to be dispelled from that holy land. Yet at the same time, as Jesus says, "Absolutely correct, Petros. You have perceived right. I am the Messiah." In the next breath, Jesus says something totally controversial to what Simon, son of Jonah, understood that the Messiah would do. Jesus begins to tell his disciples that he will be suffering at the hands of all the religious rulers. All of their brothers, you know, they're just going to come together, going to come against him, against where he is leading, would capture him, will not just suffer at their hands, they're actually going to kill him. And oh well, he says he's going to rise again. But now let me tell you, once you're dead, you're dead. Because who's going to resurrect Jesus Christ? They have seen here and there maybe a resurrection or two. But it was Jesus Christ that resurrected those bodies. So now if Jesus Christ is dead, who's going to resurrect his body? So I'm sure Peter totally disregarded what Jesus was saying about that resurrection thing and focused on the fact that he was going to die. And Simon's Messiah didn't line up with Jesus' Messiah. And so Simon said, look here, Jesus from Nazareth, I need to invest some counsel into you. You just recognize that I get revelation from God. So now you're going to listen to me. That will never happen to you. What you're saying out there, whatever you were saying, will never come to you. And Jesus looked at him and says, let's read that. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Ouch. Ouch. Whew. You do not have in mind the things of God, but what you have in mind is how to get to your human agenda. And as long as I align with your human agenda, you're all behind me. You're all for the revelation from heaven. And as soon as those agendas diverge, you diverge from me. Wow. This is heavy. As the Lord was showing me all of that, I had to go through my heart. I don't know about you and your heart. But I do want to ask you, as the Lord speaks to you and gives you insights and understandings and heavenly discernment on things, do you truly follow that revelation? Or as soon as they diverge from your agenda and your goals, your human focuses, do you distance yourself from that revelation? And you say, never, Jesus. This is never going to happen. I know better. It is very easy. It is very easy to slip from heavenly kingdom perspective to earthly perspective. When we disconnect from the heavenly perspective by allowing fears, personal agendas, human desires to rule over us, then we serve Satan's purposes. We move from eternal point of view to temporal point of view. I really want you to catch this distinction here. We move from the eternal point of view to the temporal point of view. God looks at all creation and considers the beneficial outcome of the whole, while we only see a small segment of the creation purpose, and most often we try to fit it within our personal benefit. I'm going to read that to you. I decided to read it since I jotted it down as I was getting downloads from the Lord on that. I'll read it to you. If you want to jot it down for connection group discussion, that might be a good one. We move from eternal point of view to temporal point of view. God looks at all creation and considers the beneficial outcome of the whole, while we only see a small segment of the creation purpose, and most often we try to fit it within our personal benefit. And this is where the disconnect happens. The eternal point of view is simply this. God the Father, God the Creator, has set all that you see that's tangible, physical, and the things you don't see, because the angels you don't see, but they're just as real. The spiritual beings that do not have a physical body that you can see with these physical eyes are still very real. But as the Lord spoke all of that into existence, he keeps the benefit of it all in mind. And he works within the whole of creation. and for the benefit of the whole of creation. We look at all the different planets he created, and we look at the galaxies, and we think it's just going to be a galaxy after galaxy, and we have no way of reaching the end of what he has created. Sometimes watching some of those segments on TV might help us to stretch and see God the physicist, God the mathematician, God the astronomer, God the social science, behavioral science. When I taught math, my students totally hated it. And of course, I taught in a Christian university, so I could say things like that. I would get in and say, I know you hate math, but I want to remind you this. Most of you want to become pastors here. Consider this. The founder of math is who? They look at me and have no choice to say, but God, okay? So God set up all of those formulas and axioms, and hey, at least you can glance at them and open a textbook to see what that looks like. So that same God that actually put all the math, all the physics, all the chemistry going around and around, the astronomy, don't you think that God looks at the whole universe from a perspective that's slightly larger than yours and mine? This is what an eternal perspective is. He looks at the whole creation and considers the whole, not small little bitty segments. Yet at the same time, he created the human beings as partners, because only about the human beings, he says, that he blew his spirit into them. From his eternal spirit came our spirit. So we are beings with beginning but no end. He has placed us within physical confinement right now, but we are not confined by these bodies. One day we're just going to leave this body and we're going to transition into a different locale, a different geography, the heavens. Okay, and then we're going to come back again. And so we're going to be very mobile. But at this point, we have to trust God the Father that he sees from a larger perspective than our perspective. And our temporal perspective cannot exhaust the understanding of his eternal perspective. And Jesus says, Petros, if I'm to build my church on this Petros, stone, if you're to be a part of this huge, big foundational boulder on which I'm going to be building my church, you better stay within my revelation to you, or you would be a hindrance to me. I won't be able to accomplish what I'm setting here to accomplish through you. And I believe this morning, God the Father, with this same seriousness, is revealing his spoken destiny into our hearts. But Jesus is looking at us and saying, if you align with my revelation for you, then you are Petros. You are my spoken dynamic revelation that is part of that big Petra, that is part of this big foundational block, Jesus Christ, the truth, on which I will build my church. But the minute you walk away, you disalign from my eternal purposes, and you walk into your understanding, into your human desires, then at that point, your focus is temporal and not eternal. And I cannot support your focus anymore. You slip back not only to Simon. I mean, from Petros, Simon fell not just to Simon. He didn't even call him Simon. He called him Satan. Here now, from this perspective, you were aligned with the Father's eternal purposes. And somehow, your idea, Peter, that I need to be a physical king of the Jews, that will restore the rulership of the Jews right now and will liberate the Jews so they're not slaves anymore to the Roman Empire right now. This was your human perspective. These were the things that you humans wanted done right now here on earth. As long as you were aligning the revelation of the Father with your desires, it was going fine. But as soon as you understood that I will not align with your understanding, but you have to align with my full revelation of what I want to do in your life, you disaligned and disengaged from me. And at that point, you not only regress into your humanness, but you begin to follow one that opposed me from the very beginning, Satan, who was one of the high angels. I just couldn't take it. Satan couldn't take the fact that he had to align himself with God the Father and had to follow his eternal purposes. And Satan fell off of that high place in the heavenlies. So my challenge to us today, I'm getting ready to land this plane, and I will continue next Sunday, because the second part of this message is very exciting to me. We're going to talk about what is the cross. What is your personal cross? We will talk on the whole passage that we read. But today, for our personal conversations now in the connection groups, I really would like to invite all of you. I don't know if, for those of you that are new here and haven't tried the connection groups, they're in those alcoves. You know, we give you about 20 minutes to socialize and to hug necks and to get to know each other. And then we go into the alcoves, and there are a couple upstairs and some off-site. But I invite you to come and discuss what you actually heard today. What is the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart? What is the Spirit really speaking into you? And those, you know, those conversations sometimes really take us places, because this is where we can continue to think and dwell on what the Lord is doing in our lives. So I want to invite those of you that are new, that haven't tried the connection groups, please stay, because they're part of the fabric of who we are. We start at 9:45 with prayer, and we go through worship and sharing the word of the Lord, and then we go into connection groups so we can horizontally connect after we have connected with the Father. So this is really a great place to experience what the body of Christ is. So today, my challenge to you is this. Examine your heart, and I hope you're going to feel free enough in the connection groups to discuss where the Lord is revealing certain things in a dynamic way in your life. But you have stopped because it scared you. It didn't quite align with your purposes. It didn't quite take you where you hope to go. Let's discuss that. Let's put it under the Spirit's anointing. Let us, that the Lord would continue to impress revelations on our hearts that are dynamic, that he wants to reignite in our hearts, that he wants to bring us into alignment with his purposes so we can accomplish his heavenly, eternal agenda. And let's be able to set aside the temporal that drives us and take the heavenly as our direction. I'll share very briefly something from our personal life, and then we'll just go from there. I hope that our sharing the story, Michael and I have a very interesting story. I'll share for 5 minutes, and I'll let you go, and hopefully that would spark some other conversations, some other sharings. But as the Lord called us into full-time ministry in 2007, actually the Lord called me personally in 2004 with a very literal vision of a ministry that centers on reaching to the communities, and it's a very exciting, it's a very vivid, very dynamic vision. And I looked at that, and I said, whoo, Do you know who you're talking to? An immigrant speaking with an accent. A nobody in Illinois, a self-employed, not a minister, not a pastor, doesn't have the training. Who are you talking about to build a multi-million dollar whatever thing you're showing me that you want me to do? And so I said, nope. I'm not saying no to you, you know, it's a whole vision, but this doesn't align with my understanding. So God, I'm just going to put you on a shelf right here for quite a while until I can process it and I figure it out how I'm going to get to your vision. So I put it on a shelf for about a year. And the Lord continued. You know what? The Lord honors our hearts. Whatever we are, whatever stage we're at. Let me tell you, I always thought I'm so much on fire for the Lord. I will jump in the fire and do whatever he tells me to do. Except for that big thing that he showed me, okay? That thing wasn't my forte, so that could stay on the shelf. But he continued very gently to prod towards the vision that he has given me. And his revealed word, by the way, does not contradict with his written word at all. It aligns with it, but it's dynamic. It gives life, and it is for the moment, and it's for you, just as the revelation that Peter got about Jesus from Nazareth. It was a dynamic word. It was you are a Messiah. It was dynamic. It had everything to do with who Jesus was. It was an encouragement to Jesus. It was a revelation to all the disciples. God's word is always dynamic. It's always for the now. But a lot of times, because it doesn't align with our understanding, fear grips us. Disalignment with our purposes. Now, Lord, let me explain something to you. We own four businesses. I'm talking about my story now. We own four businesses, just built a $500,000 home, God. And what you're asking me to do just really doesn't quite fit within my lifestyle. Okay, maybe I can do what you're asking me to do. You know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to continue to run my four businesses here. And on the side, I'm going to do this thing that you're asking me to do. This huge, big thing that scared me to no end. I was going to run it on the side. See, my four businesses were not going to be, hey, it's not like my heart was in it. Sometimes we say that our hearts are in some other things, but then our actions really show where our hearts are. So as the Lord asked me to give up our four businesses, I love designing homes. I'm a landscape architect, and so I have designed a couple of homes that were $500,000 homes, and we moved from one to the next and just lovely homes. And I'm not going to talk about the landscaping. We will never have that landscaping again. Or at least I don't foresee it in any future. You know, what we were able to do is we ran those four businesses. One of them was landscaping, and just did that. We had just finished that, and the Lord is showing all of that to us. It required a lot of self-searching and self-sacrifice. It required of me personally to give up everything that I loved doing to the single thing. I'm about to pick up the watercolor painting, but I gave up to that. Watercolor was part of what I do. I saw somebody that just really cheers me up on that. I'm about to. But I'm telling you, for several years, I had to forsake all of that, all of what I have loved, so I can focus on what God has called me to love. So as I saw this vision in 04, it took me a year to process it and to begin to allow, to say to the Spirit, I have figured out and I cannot figure it out. I have thought and I cannot think it. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to surrender it to you, and you will lead the way from here. And as I said, Holy Spirit, you lead me from here. how to accomplish the vision that you have given me. And immediately, I knew I had to go back to school and prepare for what God has called me to do. And I said, that's fine and dandy. I get it. How's my husband going to get it? Because I was designing all of the design work and, you know, would bring a huge revenue. You know, I had to interface with all of the customers, show them the landscaping designs. We would sign the jobs so all of our crews could install the landscaping jobs. Who's going to do that if I go back to school? So there were so many questions in my mind. And quite fearful, I decided to approach my husband, who is a wonderful guy. And I didn't fear him. I feared the fact that he will not see the same thing as I have seen. And as I sat with him at a lunch to approach him and to ask him if he would agree with me that I would go back to school in preparation for the vision that God had shown me, within half a sentence, he interrupts me and he says, absolutely go to school. Where do you want to go to school? And I said, now, wait a minute. I don't think you understood what I'm saying. I'm pulling out of the business. We two are running the business with quite a few of employees and lots of customers, 200 plus customers each year. How are we going to run this thing? I said, just go into it. Find and I said, I don't know where I'm going to go prepare. We decided to pray. That was a Thursday. I remember it as today. By Sunday, God sent somebody in our church from Dallas, Texas, from Southwestern Assembly of God University in Illinois. We haven't seen anybody from Dallas in the 8 years we were in this church, and tells us all about this Assembly of God University that offers a master's degree in, that was going to line up with the plan for preparation. So within short 3 days, the Lord answers the prayer of where I'm going to go and get prepared. And so everything is really, from then on, it spiraled extremely fast. I went back into school. I'm pursuing my doctoral studies with that in mind. The Lord not just took me back to prepare for the vision, but required even further sacrifice as he showed us that we cannot do this thing that he had shown us to do and run it on the side with our four businesses that we were running. So we had to sell everything. The Lord moved us from there to Dallas. The Lord has shown us from there that we had to move to Maryland. So all of that has been a sacrificial path that he has led us to walk, totally contrary to our agendas. And I'm going to tell you something. Since 2004, we do not have our own personal agendas. We don't have a human agenda that we align after. We had, as I shared with you, we were the small business owner that was the millionaire next door that you would never know about, those people. Now we had to sell. We sold in a downward market. We are still in quite a financial bind because of that. But God has been so faithful. All of our bills are covered. And this is so not consequential to us anymore. There is nothing that tugs on my heart that wants to do any of the human agendas that could be set before us. Because God has a higher calling. And the revealed dynamic word into our lives had to come in alignment with the Father. What if we had said no to the Father? Would we have lost our salvation? Obviously not. This is not about where is your final destination, heaven or hell. We're not talking about that. We're talking so much beyond that. God has provided eternal destiny with him in heaven. But he's just asking us, come alongside me and see the meaning of life if you only submit to me and obey to my dynamic revelation in your life. Then you can taste and truly know what it means that you have eternal life. Because you're beginning to live that eternal life here on earth. So I hope that this story may open some conversations around the connection groups, and that you may feel free to share what is the Lord beginning to impress on your heart. What is that dynamic revelation that the Lord is triggering in you that you may follow? Michael, would you come and as we finish in prayer, I'd like for you to reflect on the call of God on your life. Where is He leading you to go? We will continue with those thoughts next Sunday. And as we go into our connection groups, allow the Lord to continue to speak and to begin to break down certain human agendas that have begun to pile up in our lives and take place of His destiny for you. I'll allow you a couple, 5 minutes, whatever you'd like to take for some reflective prayer. You can come to the altar, you can sit there. I just really would like for you to reflect on the word, and then you will be dismissed to go and participate in the connection groups if you desire.